We're going to have a time of prayer now. I asked Becky to think about which particular situations, people groups were particularly on her heart at the moment that we could join with her in prayer. And then after that, we'll gather around Becky and pray for her, because we're kind of sending her off again for another sort of extended period of time. There's some things coming up for her that she would like prayer for. So we'll finish with that. But just now we're going to kind of look outward, look to other parts of the world. Becky, if you'd like to sort of talk about these situations.
There are four people groups that I am involved in helping send teams to. And these are the four that I've been put in charge of. So we have the Untouchables in India. In India, the caste system is part of their faith. The government are trying to change it, but recently they had a new president come into power who is a Hindu, and he has put the caste system back into place. So the lowest caste is called Dalits, or the Untouchables, they're known as. These people have no way of getting education, no way of working to earn a living. They're basically told that their karma has put them where they are, and they need to live in poverty for the rest of their life. So we work with ministries in India, Christians who are helping to educate the next generation, helping to bring employment to those that need it and take poverty off of the streets. A lot of the Untouchable children are at risk because they can be put into the slave trade, where in many cases they are put on the streets to beg for money, but the money goes to someone else, not to them. They get fed very little, so they look like they're starving. They don't have any medical care, and in many cases, they're purposely injured so that they can get more money from passersby. So the families, they have no say in government. They have no say in anything. So that's one of them. The other is the Sahrawis. The Sahrawis are a people group that lived in the Sahara Desert, but more than 15 years ago, there was war between Morocco and Algeria and a couple of other countries over who owned the Sahara Desert. So the Sahrawis were basically displaced into another area. They still live in the desert, but they don't live in the desert where there's places where they can grow food, where it rains a lot. So they live in these makeshift houses in the desert, and they have to truck food in from miles away, and then they have one shop a month that they have to get their food in. So it's not easy for them. They feel like they're forgotten people. People have forgotten about their situation. They still don't have their home back because of the greed of the other countries around them. So we send teams to them. We build what we call earth bag homes once a year in the desert area where they live. It rains so badly, it floods the desert and it destroys their makeshift homes. So then they're homeless and trying to rebuild again. So with the earth bag homes, they can withstand that. So we send teams in and they work alongside them. And then we have the Libyan refugees. A while back, the militia took over their country and a lot of them fled because of the way the country was going to be run. A lot of undercover Christians, people like that, had to leave the country. So they're displaced. And then the Syrian refugees, the same thing. So these are some of the people that we are actually reaching out to, we're doing works with. I'll share one encouraging story. The Sahrawis, we sent a team there, and what they do is they work on the house, but they also stay with the family. So they're put individually or in pairs in a house with a family. And there were a couple of girls that stayed with one family in particular, and they were like, we really want to bless you. There's more food that we've brought with us. Can we possibly cook you an American meal, which is basically some form of meat and potatoes? And so the host was like, yes, we'd like that. So they get the ingredients, a few potatoes, maybe a little couple pieces of meat. They're like, there's five people in the family, this will do. So as they're making this meal, 13 men come in and sit down in the tent or the house. And then they're like, "What? Who are they?" And they're like, well, they want an American meal too. And these girls are like, no, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll try this. So one of the girls was talking about how Jesus split the fish and the bread, and there was tons. And that happened more than once in the Bible. So they're like, wouldn't it be funny if God did that? So like, let's just say a quick prayer and we'll just hope for the best. And if not, we won't eat anything. We'll just give little pieces of food to people so they can try it. And so they prayed a quick prayer, and then they just kept making it. And they were like, we need to bulk the potatoes up. We need to borrow some milk. And there was a carton of milk stored in the house, and it was the only milk the family had. And they were like, the shopping run comes tomorrow. It delivers. If we can have your milk, we will replace it. So the woman's like, you can have all the milk but one cup because we need that. So like, okay, great. So they poured the milk in, and they stirred the potatoes, and it bulked them up, and they put the milk back, and they're like, this is not enough milk. And they turn around to grab it, and like, can we just use the rest? And they pulled it up, and it was full again. And they were like, what? So they poured some more milk, put it back, filled up again. So then they were like, well, maybe it's just the milk God has a heart for, so we'll just go with this. So they kept mixing the food, and then it's always customary that the woman of the house will serve the meal and plate it. So they had to stand back and watch. And they were like counting. And they were like, okay, that has to be enough because that's all we've got. But the food kept coming, coming, coming. These guys had like seconds and thirds of this meal, and there was still some left over. And God had multiplied the food. So we're seeing stuff like that happen in all of our outreach teams that are going out. God doesn't just do it in the Bible. He also does it today, which is pretty cool.
Lord God, just guide our thoughts and our prayers just now as we lift these people in such need towards you.
Father, forgive us when our hearts are hard. Forgive us where news has come on the television and we've just turned it off and compassion isn't lifted in our hearts. Father, turn our hearts now as we pray for these four people groups. Give us compassion, give us love. But Father, we ask you to work. We know that when we pray, you work. And so, Father, we ask particularly for the Dalits that you would work in that government, that you would lift somebody up in that government to speak out, to bring voice so that change comes. They can't change themselves. They need somebody higher up, Lord, to speak out for them. And as the kings come in and change things and things have gone backwards, Lord, bring your person to the forefront, please. Bring your person, even if they're not a Christian person, have somebody speak out with compassion for these people, Lord. You in the Old Testament spoke through Nebuchadnezzar. You used him, Lord, even though he didn't know you. And Father, you can speak through people today. So we ask that you would lift somebody up from that government, but also for these other four people groups, for people that can't speak for themselves, lift those up, lift people up out of the government that will speak for them, please. Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And all these people groups, Lord, I'd never even heard of the Sawaris, Father, but they're known to you. And all these groups have value in your sight. Lord, they may be poor. They may not have proper homes, not enough food. They may have had to leave their homes and become refugees. Father, but you love each one very much. May they know that they are precious in your sight. And we thank you for the work that YWAM is doing with these people groups, Father. We pray your blessing on each team that goes out to serve. Thank you for the heart of service of YWAM. We thank you for Becky, for all that she does. And we pray your blessing. Lord, may these people, those who don't know you, Father, we pray that you would be working in these groups of people, and may they see the love that you have through the people that come to serve. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Lord, we see these situations around the world and we think there's nothing that I can do. But Lord, help us to do what we can to help these people practically. Give us opportunities, Lord, to speak out on their behalf. Lord, I pray for our government in this country where we have so much, where people are protected, where people's needs are protected by the government. And I pray, Lord, that our government would speak out on these issues, that, Lord, justice would prevail, that political point scoring or political alliances or just politics would not be involved, Lord, and that right would be right. And that, Lord, our government would speak out on behalf of these people that need someone to speak out.
Yeah, God, we just thank you so much that you created these people groups. You created them with a purpose, and they all have different amazing cultures. And God, we pray that they will start to feel valued, that we will be able to bring your value to them, that all the organizations that are working to right this wrong will just be able to really impart your character into their lives, that we will see lives changed for you through this, that you, even in the hardest moments, can reach the hardest heart. So we just ask that in your name.
So Lord, I pray that you will help me to share what you want us to do for these people. It is our problem because we have been taught to love others as we love ourselves. And we know that to love our neighbour doesn't necessarily mean the person who lives next to us. But we are to love, and we're reminded what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So Lord, these people who are in need, they are our problem because we are called to love them. And I pray that you will help us to do that more. Amen.